Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Front Featured Interview Show on this Thursday, the 8th of July, 2021. We are live on the Wilms Front YouTube and DLive channels, and as always, on the Interactive Entropy software, where you can ask myself or my guest tonight a question or also send through a super chat to support the show. It is 8:30 p.m. here in Melbourne, Victoria, where things are, as I would describe, they're okay at the moment and certainly calmer than they have been. The same can't be said for our greater Sydney-based friends. We are entering a third week of lockdown, which doesn't seem to be working in eliminating the Delta COVID strain, with New South Wales recording its highest day of locally recorded COVID cases in 2021 with 38. Us Victorians, who thought that simply leaving the state between lockdowns was the way to become more free, have sadly been mistaken. There is no real escape from Fortress Surveillance Australia. The recent nationwide outbreaks and lockdowns mean that pretty much no matter where you travel in Australia, you'll need a QR code to do anything or make any purchases. Hence, your every movement and will be tracked and stored in a central government location. Therefore, it's hardly a surprise with the digital revolution giving our governments and the globalists the ability to track and control our every move, as seen many over the past 18 months choose to live off the grid and live autonomously and naturally. The New South Wales North Coast has been a growing community hub for alternate lifestyles. One of the main gurus of this community is Neil Pascoe, who is Director of Innate Awareness, which specializes in sovereign health and matrix deprogramming. He is an activist within the Australian Freedom Movement, with the NateMax Human Alliance Project, and has spoken at many of the Freedom Days held in New South Wales and Queensland. And I'm pleased to be able to speak with him tonight. Neil, welcome to Wilms Front.
Hey, bro. How you doing? Thanks for having me on, and thanks for everyone out there for jumping on who are listening tonight. Yeah, interesting times we're living in, that's for sure. A bit of a science fiction movie.
Yes, although often the reality, as we've seen with so many things over the years, is stranger and in some ways more terrifying than a science fiction or dystopian novel. There's already a super chat over on Entropy from I Swallow Cum. For $3 Australian, they say, great guest tonight, Tim. Been looking forward to this episode. Yes, so I'm not sure. Do you know who they are?
No, that was a great nickname, though.
Now, I'll start off, because there's so many places that we could start. How does one become drawn to a off-the-grid lifestyle? What does it exactly mean? What does it encompass?
Well, I guess I feel it's innately in everybody to want to live, you know, in nature, amongst community. A lot of people want to live minimal, you know, this whole experience of having 8 cars and a giant mansion and a jet. That's just like programming from social, cultural, you know, ideologies which don't even exist. It's the mainstream news, it's the film clips, it's the movies projecting this life at us that really ultimately we don't want. People who have got their cup overfilling and they're full, this is not something they want. But the matrix, which I like to call it, is keeping people within the 5 senses. So the sensory realm of touch, feel, smell, lust, greed, material fame, pride, all these things basically are creating the system that we're living in at the moment. And now people are realizing through health, through awakenings, through consciousness rising and all these different things that are happening right now all at once, that they want to live more simple. They want to live with less debt. They want to be more free. They want to move around. They want to, you know, be able to spend more time with their kids. They want to grow vegetable gardens and eat their own food, because there's so many facets of life at the moment which are toxic to the human being. The food, the air, the water, the education system, you know, and the television and all these things, they're not natural. And what's happening is we're seeing a splitting of society. We're seeing people who are understanding this information and they're like, okay, well, this doesn't feel right. I'm not actually feeling well in the cities. The people around me aren't really supporting me in a community way. So the bigger the city, the less community vibe there is. Like people who live in like New York City in a giant big apartment block, they say that they might have, you know, 500, 1,000 friends on Facebook, but they barely have any friends in real life because you're just walking past all these numbers. Everyone's insignificant. You're walking past all these people all day long, and you might have your small little group of friends you hang out with every now and then. That's not community. That's not living. That's the opposite, you know. So there's an incredible series of books that I read, which is called The Ringing Cedars of Russia, Anastasia, The Ringing Cedars of Russia. Now, I highly recommend anyone out there to read the books regardless. Some of the most profound books I've read, there's 9 in the series, and that was a big part of my wanting to live off-grid, because everything this woman spoke about, this woman that lived in the forest in Siberia, basically just pulled a heartstring with me. I was like, of course I want to grow my own food. Of course I want to love my neighbors and have a group of people that I live with that support each other and all that stuff. It's just normal. That's how I would have lived for thousands of years before this Western system came in, which was designed to come in and separate us from source, to separate us from nature and disconnect us from who we really are. And that's all part of the bigger agenda, which we can talk about later. Now, I actually lived in a motorhome for about 7 years. I was living in Bondi, had a transport company, a few jobs on the side. And basically one day I was just like, I'm done with this. You know, I had cars, Harley Davidsons, race boats, race cars, you know, all this stuff going on, companies and business and trucks and trailers, making money. And if you're in the matrix, you'd be like, that guy's doing all right. But really internally, I wasn't doing all right. It wasn't filling my soul. It wasn't filling my cup. And I've always been a person to ask questions like, why is this? How come this? Why do you do things this way when we could do it this way? So I've always been like a system buster, an indigo, whatever you want to call it, someone who sees through the matrix. And one day that was it. I'm like, I bought a bus. I drove past it. It was on the side of the road. And my higher self was like, you should buy that bus. And at that time, I had so many vehicles and so many engines. And I was like, the last thing I need is one more registration and one more engine and one more problem, you know. But I ended up buying it, selling a bunch of stuff, literally jumping in it and then taking off around Australia on almost like a bit of a pilgrimage, you know. And that was a massive awakening to me, to understand that, yes, you can live in a bus. Yes, you can live minimal. Yes, you can do whatever you want to do if you put your mind to it. And, hey, actually, I'm happier now than I've ever been, yet I own less than I ever have. So that was, for me, the initial, I guess, starting into the awakening phase of living off-grid.
Although we should clarify when you say that, you're not supportive of the Great Reset. You'll own nothing and be happy.
Yeah, I have no problems with people owning whatever they want to own. If, you know, if whatever you want to do in this world, I recommend do it. Enjoy the experience and then go a little bit deeper and find out what your soul is calling. What does your soul want? Does it really want 10 cars and a hot Russian model? Or does it want to explore, meet people, grow, teach people, create, draw, paint, sing, dance, go into your trauma and become a better version of you? You know, it's about evolution ultimately. This whole reason we're here is for evolution. It's for growth. This is Earth School. We're here for lessons. You either take it as all these bad things are going on in the world and happening to me, or they're experiences that I can grow from and I can learn from. So that's the cup half full, cup half empty kind of paradigm. It's like, it's raining outside. Oh, this is pissing me off. It's raining. Or is it, hey, the garden's getting watered for free. What a great day, you know. And that's basically the premise behind everything happening on Earth right now. Perception-based reality.
Definitely when I was younger, in my late teens, I definitely wanted the what's described as the cosmopolitan lifestyle, live in an inner city pad or apartment, go to the hang out at the cafes and restaurant and nightclubs and that. That's what I sort of idolized when I was a teenager. But now I can think of nothing worse, especially this past year when there's been these, especially in Melbourne, rolling and extended lockdowns. Many Melburnians would be confined to a tiny room, and because that's where lots of people live, that's where the mass surveillance and police state was during that time. And certainly, well, I live in the southeast of Melbourne, so there's a bit more space in suburbia, but it's certainly there is a lot of density here compared to out in the country. And I've interviewed Max Egan a couple of times, but he does a lot of his videos just out in his bushland where he lives. And if the world is shutting down and the police are making sure that everyone's staying put, that's where you'd want to be, in the natural environment, rather than cooped up in a city pad or apartment, or what is it, they want to get you in pods now, where you're probably not breathing fresh air. There's hardly any fresh food at all. Are you there, Neil?
Yeah, sorry, mate. It's raining a little bit. My microphone might have cut out for a second there. So, yeah, you basically said that there's no fresh food and people are squashed in the cities, and if you're going to get locked down, which we should push back and just not be locked down anyway, then we don't have to worry about it. But ultimately, yes, you definitely want to be in a place where you can heal. And human beings heal when they're in nature. You know what I mean? They don't heal when they're in the city. You're getting bathed by frequencies, by ultraviolet light, by, you know, all these different artificial things that are knocking you off your circadian rhythm. You know, people aren't sitting around the fire anymore. We're not eating at the dinner table anymore even. What's happening is, you know, it's becoming a fast-paced reality of fast food, fast interaction and instant gratification, especially to do with the social media. This is actually unsocial media, and it's disconnecting humans from what it means to be social. To go out and meet people, to talk, to connect, to hold hands, to hug, to see someone and feel their energy. So, I mean, Max Egan doesn't live that far away from the city. You know, I mean, it looks like he does. I've done ayahuasca at his house a couple of times, and it's a beautiful little pad, and you go there and you feel like you're a million miles away, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I think this latest, you know, COVID situation, whatever you want to call it, if you even want to call it that, the mind control operation or the IQ test really is what it is, has making more and more people who might have been sitting on the fence realize that, hey, I want to get out. I want to get into nature. I want to start living. I don't want to be boxed in. And since the international travel has been blocked, now more people are traveling around Australia, which they should have been doing before anyway. And those people that were traveling around Australia now should have been traveling overseas before. So it's kind of pushing people to go out of their comfort zone, because they're like, oh shit, I might not have any options soon, so I better do this now. But that's also a scarcity mindset. That's, oh, this is happening, this is our future, rather than, hey, we're going to push back, we're going to create the future we want because we have the numbers, we are the 99%. So that's the two paradigm shift that's happening at the moment, accepting of this new paradigm, or hey, we need to get off our asses and do something, and we can get back more freedom than we've ever had in our entire lives. Because let's be honest, humans haven't been free for a very, very long time. And what humans think is freedom is not freedom at all. And what we're coming into now is literally an open-air prison. So, yeah.
Oh, and as I mentioned, it's turning into a mass surveillance state. Like when Sydney gets out of its lockdown, we hope it's very soon, they'll still have to QR code check in if they want to go out to a restaurant or the supermarket or anything like that. We get to go out, and all we have to do is just basically wave our phones at the checking gate. So there's this central government database of where all we've been in that. There's this is why people who say that Melbourne is free. Like I still don't go out much because I don't want to wear a mask everywhere, and I don't want to, if I go shopping, check into 10 places. So there's a lot of bush tracks near where I live, so that's how I spend a lot of my days off, just going for a walk out in the fresh air. I started that as soon as we came out of the Melbourne second lockdown. And you talk about the how people are moving around Australia because there's not much places to go. Certainly a lot of people would be doing that because they don't want to take for granted anymore that they can just move around. Like I certainly want to see more of Australia, see where the community and environment where you live up on the north coast there, because I haven't taken the opportunity to go and explore all these beautiful natural places that Australia has when I could. And it's only when it's all options are taken away from you that you're like, I really need to live more now.
Yes. Yeah, it's a funny premise, isn't it? You know, humans generally shift through either inspiration or desperation. So this is pushing people in either direction at the moment. And what you're saying about not wanting to go out because of the sign-ins, the mask and all that, what you need to know and what the viewers need to know is that when they ask you why you're not wearing a mask, you literally just say, I'm exempt. I've got a medical exemption. I usually say I've got a medical exemption. I'm allergic to tyranny and communism and stupidity, but I do things a different way. I know the rules really well. And not once have I been told to put a mask on the whole entire time. But anyway, you say, I've got a mask exemption. I've got a medical exemption. They have no right to ask you about your medical exemption. If they say, what have you got going on? That's a breach of your Medical Privacy Act. So they can't even ask for that. Now, all the people around this region where I live, the security guards and such, they know this. So you say, I've got an exemption. They'll let you straight in. Now, if it comes to signing in, okay, I just haven't got a phone. I don't have a phone. And they're like, okay, well, you can sign your name in here. And I go, no worries, I'm happy to give you a fake name and a fake phone number, and that'll be good. And that's literally about what I say. And I just write Mike Lowry every time from Bad Boys, and I put whatever phone number I want. So I'm still going out, still doing my own thing, but you just need to know the law a little bit. Obviously, they're going to try and stamp down, and you need to do this, and we'll send you a text. Because this is all a scientific dictatorship. This is what people need to know. This is a well-thought-out plan that has been planned between 30 and 50 years ago. Okay, these plans and these false flag attacks and these psyopses which are happening right now, they weren't made up 2 weeks ago or 6 months ago. They've been in the Tavistock Institute, the Smithsonian Institute, all these places that have think tanks have been doing these think tanks for many, many years. That's why you have, if people haven't seen it, look at the type in the Olympic Games opening ceremony 2012 on YouTube and have a look at it. That's the ceremony for COVID. You've got the big boogeyman in the middle, this big grim reaper-looking thing floating around, all the hospital beds, all the people, all the nurses, you know. Everything is done through secret society. It's occultism, okay, and they have to show you what they're doing to not break universal law. So it's been thought up in a think tank. How can we manipulate the planet? How can we wipe out the middle class? How can we do this? How can we do that? It depends how far you want me to go down the rabbit hole today. I can go right to the bottom or we can skim through. But basically, this is all planned, okay? Everything's been planned. And what they do, they test in all different countries and all different areas. And they push in Australia, Melbourne, this area, that area, and they see who are the most complacent people, okay? What demographics are there? Are they Muslims? Are they Christians? Are they poor? Are they rich? Are they surf culture? Who are they? And what is their pushback? What is their limit? What is their line in the sand? So they push, they see for a reaction, and then they wait and they retry anew. They go, oh, that didn't work at all. Just like when Scott Morrison said ages ago, we're going to have vaccine passports, or I think it was he said that. And basically everyone was like, fuck you. And the whole country got in an uproar. Then he's like, oh, we're not going to, we're just testing. They fully pulled back because of the pushback. But now first they'll implement a QR for a while, get us used to that. Then they want to get us used to wearing masks, then lockdowns all the time. Oh, there's a new cluster here, new cluster there, cases. Use all the mind control wording, which is the new normal, the new normal. Hey, the new normal, the new normal. Ban travel, masks, masks. This is mind control. Okay, people talk about MK Ultra, electroshock therapy and things like that. This is mass scale MK Ultra mind control, which is being put through the media, through the mainstream news. That's why every single time you turn on the television, all you hear is COVID. COVID, 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 variants, Delta variant, this variant, Indian variant, Peruvian variant. And there's no science behind any of it. There's absolutely zero science behind any of the stuff that these people are talking about. And it can be proven quite simply, but we're just getting bombarded with this false narrative over and over again, getting people used to it, getting used to signing in. Oh, sign in your phone, it's okay. Next time, oh, we'll just sign in through the tracking chip. Yeah, that's okay too. Oh, then we'll do this. And eventually you look back. And it's basically like the frog in warm water. You put a frog in boiling water, it will jump out. But if you put it in warm water and slowly turn up the heat, eventually the frog's dead before it knows it. And that's the track we're heading down in a certain context, but also we're heading down a track of complete enlightenment at the same time, because good and evil, if you want to talk about duality, works like this. Same as we have new technology coming out now, we have spiritual technology, which is at the same level. So everything is in balance in this universe. And it may seem like it's out of balance and people might be like, oh, man, I've lost my rights. I've lost this. This is going to be the new normal, which is not the case. This whole entire narrative is being held together by a tiny thread, a piece of hair, which is literally the mainstream news. That is the only thing keeping it together, is the mainstream news with the mind control. And then there's the agents that work for the news, which are the police, the doctors, the COVID police, and the people who talk in the mainstream news. The ones who are enforcing the laws, okay? And these guys are parasites and they're sellouts, because if you went outside, okay, right now and no one was wearing a mask, let's say in the last 2 years, if there was nothing on the news, right, there's no mainstream news, so you weren't watching it, and no one was wearing masks, if you walked outside, could you honestly tell me that you knew there was some sort of a pandemic going on? And the answer is unequivocally no. You would have absolutely no clue. Empty hospitals, everything's normal, nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed as the flu stats have disappeared. We don't have the flu anymore. The last 2 years, after 50 years of having the flu, wow, what a great medical breakthrough. We've finally gotten rid of the flu. And the flu's disappeared. Oh, it's all COVID now. COVID, 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 COVID. Oh, you got a runny nose? That's COVID. Oh, you got run over by a steamroller? Well, that's a COVID death for sure. And now even the World Health Organization, who, mind you, is an inverted organization, it's a distraction, it's not real, it's funded by the pharmaceutical companies and the parasites like Bill Gates, it's there to invert reality, to pretend that it's there to help things, when really it's just pushing out disinformation. And now they're getting sued left, right and center. They've come out and said, look, we're not going to lie, 96 to 98% of all the COVID deaths were actually because they had three other, you know, diseases and sicknesses and things that were killing them anyway. So we've gone down to a little small percentage, okay, which we can go one step further about viruses, which I won't, and it's a false narrative, you know, but they're only going to put one post out about that. They're not going to continually tell you how we fucked up. They're just going to do it once, and then the mainstream news is going to go back to continually lying over and over again, pushing out the narrative, keeping you in a state of fear. Stay home and save lives. Do you know what stay home and save lives means? That means stay home and destroy small businesses. That means destroy your freedom. That means comply to corporations and entities which are basically power grabbing land, money, businesses, wiping out the middle class. They want to implement the cashless society. They want to bring in the cryptocurrencies, they want to have tracking chips, they want to have surveillance everywhere, a 5G smart grid. Oh, it sounds spectacular. I can't wait to live in this future of this great technology. All this technology, and none of it is helping humanity. All of it is hampering humanity. It's enslaving us. I don't want to walk to the pub and sign in. It's like, bro, you don't need to know what I've been doing, what I've been hanging out with. I don't want cameras looking in my face. That's not the reality I choose, and I do not consent to that. So this is why humans need to wake up. It really is time you wake up, because you know we're in a war right now, and then understand that all you have to do is become sovereign yourself. All you have to do is say no and empower yourself. Like when I go out not wearing a mask or whatever I'm doing, I don't care. There's no fear in me. No one talks to me about, can you put that on? There's a complete no, because they know this guy's empowered. There's an energy about him. He knows his shit. He's smart. And I do not get asked those questions. But people who go out who know the intellect, they know the talk, but they haven't embodied it, they get eaten up. I hear some horrendous stories about people having confrontations with that. I'd love to have confrontations like that in public. I look for that. It's great because I can absolutely dismantle a whole entire 20-person conversation by myself in a couple of minutes, you know. So it's about the energy and about being sovereign. And sovereign means with your health, with your spirituality, with your connection to the Creator and Mother Earth, and also to your fellow human beings, okay? Every time you say no, every time you empower yourself, every time you get healthy and become a more of an inspiring person to those around you, other people want to, like, ultimately do what you're doing, not because you're telling them, but because you're an inspiration by example. And that's all we have to do. Be the inspiration, and everything will shift around you. Whatever frequency you're emitting internally is going to change the external frequency. So it actually boils down to a frequency game, and that's why the mind control is so intense at the moment, because they want us to believe their reality rather than us co-creating the one that you and me both want.
The reason why the compliance test or IQ test, as you call it, has been so successful for the powers that be in places like Melbourne, Australia as a whole, and New Zealand is because they've been able to make this compliance so convenient. Like with the it's just an extension of the function of your phone to check in everywhere. This technology, which is the digital revolution, has had a significant positive impact. That's how I'm able to connect and communicate with you, broadcast to the world, even though you and I have never met in person. Hopefully sometime soon that we will. But certainly, whether they be in government, the various globalist bodies, because people, especially people of my generation, I'm Gen Y, the Gen Z, they've been brought up on these devices. That's all that we know. And this is why unplugging from the matrix, and it's not just technology as well. A lot of young people today wouldn't know what it means to grow their own food or to construction or anything like that. They've been brought up in that just everything is like the main supermarket. That's just where your food comes from. Your information, your interaction, that just all comes from the internet and technology. Like, I'll admit, I'm very slobbish when it comes to food. I eat plenty of fast food. The long life pasta, that sort of thing. Like, it would be a very big shock to my system to suddenly, like, I'd have to sort of like wean myself off the way that my current lifestyle, which I'll freely admit, like, I doesn't make me feel the best, but that's my own fault for that. But you see what I'm saying here, that as that system, this food and technology, just how it all is mass manufactured and literally to the people, it makes it harder and harder for people like you to unplug people and convince people that living off the grid is something that will be healthy for them.
I think it's going to boil down to a fact that a lot of people are not going to take that choice, and I've kind of come to the fact that not everyone's going to wake up. You know, there's going to be a large portion of the population that will take this shot. Now, if we do another interview, we can talk deeply about DARPA, nanogel, and fibers and lithium and all this incredibly science fiction stuff which is happening. But let's just say what they're saying is like on the news, they're saying that all these people are getting the shot, but really they're not. It's actually not many people are taking it. A very small amount of people are actually taking it, and that's why they're pushing so hard. They're using celebrities. They're using the mainstream news. Hey, get a free donut. Hey, we'll come to your house and do it. Hey, we'll do this. Hey, Lady Gaga's getting it. And you see all the videos of them putting it in, and the little end pops in, pops out. They've got a lid on. They've got these syringes that the thing goes in and out. You know, all these fake celebrities.
I think they believe it enough that they are taking the vaccine. That's my personal opinion, that they do believe in what they're spinning. I mean, just look at Greg Hunt, who had a side effect 2 days after his first vaccine.
Yeah, well, it's only the people who are in the top echelon who are being told about it. You know, I mean, the ones who are in the secret society, Freemasons, Illuminati, whatever, they're the ones who are getting told. The rest of the bottom feeders, which is basically politicians and all these useless eaters, is what the elite call not only us but them, they're going to take the vaccine. They're going to have the same detriment because they don't need them anymore. But what you're saying is that people are really plugged in now with the technology, and I agree. But it's also making it clear as day to what it feels like to be in nature, on what it feels like to be unplugged, what it feels like to eat healthy food and unhealthy food. And really, like, I used to have to battle people to awaken them before. I'm very good at it, you know. I'm a professional at waking people up. But now all I have to do is string a few sentences or try this, read this book, do this, and people are like, they're on, you know, because whether they're doing the awakening stuff, and I don't mean awakening some spiritual woo-woo, but it's like some sort of evolution we're going through where, you know, maybe after this phone conversation and we'll have a chat, I could direct you into some different food and things like that. And I guarantee you, when you take one step in the right direction, that old paradigm ends very quickly. And the universe doesn't allow you to kind of go back. Once you start evolving and going forward, if you try and go back into your old ways, you get a kick in the balls really hard, because we're in 2021. This is about your evolution. So I definitely agree with you. People are plugged in. And I definitely, believe that we have been brought up to be plugged in. You know, the technology is so exciting. You know, that all the apps and things you have now, like, I love technology. I've got like so many gadgets at my house and healing machines and so many different things. And I've been dabbling with free energy and trying to get my bus to run on water, which I got going, hydrogen. And so I'm always into tech, but I just like tech that doesn't hurt me. I'll honestly be happy to have something connected to my mind where I can type messages, connect with everyone through my mind without using my hands. I would be happy to have that if it was technology which wasn't designed to take over my soul, take over my consciousness, and control me in any way, shape, or form. There is ultimately a good technology with every bad technology that's out there. We're using Wi-Fi, we're using 5G, 4G. You know, people talk about 5G. But 4G is incredibly bad for human beings. Same with 3G and 2G. None of them are good for humans whatsoever. But the issue is we're being conditioned and poisoned off on so many different levels that people don't know which way they're dying, because pretty much the world's population is sick, dead, and dying at the moment. 1 in 2 cancer rate, 1 in 20 autism rate, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia, all the old man's diseases. Everyone gets them at age 50 now, which is from heavy metal toxicity. Okay, one of the big killers that the doctors don't talk about, and the doctors don't talk about any sort of health. So people don't know which way it's coming from. Is it my food? Is it my water? Is it my lifestyle? And then once you go beyond the five senses, which I said earlier, which is the whole evolutionary process, you go beyond the five senses into the unseen realms. That's where everything begins. So you start climbing up through the pyramid. Once you get to the top of the pyramid, and no, I'm not blasting an Illuminati symbol, once you get to the top of the pyramid, it flips upside down, and then you enter into the adult's room. So we're in the children's room now. We're in the playpen. This Earth school is literally like it's a sewer. It's a sewer of consciousness. It's a cesspit where, like, it's animals the way people are living compared to the way we could be living. Now, people would say, what do you mean, Nate? You know, we get food, we have houses and things like that. If that's the highest potential you think you have on this Earth, you're operating at about 5%. We are multidimensional on so many different levels, and we are creator beings that can almost create any reality with our minds. But we've been conditioned, programming, all the rest of it, to believe that we should die around 85. Everyone has a death urge. People think, oh, yeah, it's an acceptable time to die around 85. So people generally die around there. Any longer than that, you're a burden on the system. Any less than that, it's a bit too young. But then you have these yogis and these Chinese people who are living for hundreds of years, and it looks like in history that people used to live for thousands of years before we created this mind virus ourselves into what's acceptable, what's believable, and where we're getting the information from? History, his story. You know, if our news is completely corrupted from the top down, why wouldn't our history be? Why wouldn't our religion be? So this is really about getting your cup and emptying everything you know out, going beyond the five senses, connecting with here, the heart, your higher self, Mother Nature and Earth, and then reigniting that internal flame and that dialogue of being connected to the seasons, to the temperature, to everything that's going on, you know. So the easiest thing and the hardest thing is waking people up. All I need is to have the people come to one of my retreats, which is a 10-day retreat, which I run. I used to run them on Bali. Now, I guarantee you, after that retreat, 98% of those people are awakening and they're never going back to sleep. And it's the only reason that we have this world as it is because of the education. The education system is literally an indoctrination system. You go through 12 years of school, which is just turning people and kids into being a good repeater. They teach them mathematics at a really young age, which they shouldn't be. They should be playing music, running in the garden, playing in the garden, singing, dancing, doing all the creative stuff, getting the creative part of the mind flowing before they start getting into that male brain. And the school teaches kids also to be very competitive. So you're competing in the running races, competing in the classroom. If you don't do the right thing, you get put in detention. What's detention? It's getting people used to prison. You know, it's getting people used to being told what to do by authority and not thinking for themselves. So this is massive programming that we have to pull apart. There's so many layers to this, which is all connected from food, air, water, consciousness, education, banking systems, you know, the whole lot. It's one big pile of a turd, which we need to pull apart and get to the middle, which is actually a diamond. There's a diamond in there and everyone has one, and all you have to do is activate it, whether it's some meditation, whether it's some healthy food, watch a David Icke interview. All these things awaken people. It could be, you know, people have near-death experiences, or they get pushed so hard, which is what this COVID scam's doing. It's pushing people so hard now that they're up against the wall. And I'm right. I need to fight. I need to move, and I need to shift this energy, or this is going to be my reality. So I'm actually kind of, part of me is thanking the evil for pushing so hard, because it's waking so many of this beautiful race of humans on Earth up. And once you wake, you don't fall back asleep. So.
I certainly admire your ambition for humanity. There are many people who would not think that on a what we currently know about science, I should preface that all of that is possible. But as you've said, there's a huge growing community up on the north coast of New South Wales. But as you mentioned, it hasn't been immune from these COVID restrictions and regulations. Although Greater Sydney is the one in lockdown, the rest of New South Wales still has the masks and other restrictions as well. And the North Coast community of New South Wales already has a reputation of being quite skeptical and hostile to the established authority. But because you are in New South Wales, but pretty much the political decisions are all made by people who are based in Sydney or the surrounding areas. The police get their instructions from Sydney. And how far is it from Sydney to the North Coast? It's quite a number of hours.
Depends if you sit on 190 the whole way or if you do 110. So if you do 110, you'll get there in about 8.5 hours.
So these are the people who are imposing these decisions on your community all the way down far away.
Yeah, exactly. They have no clue. And even further away, you've got Canberra, where all the boneheads sit in there and have their arguments and pretend they actually care about human beings. Now, in those books that I mentioned earlier, The Ringing Cedars of Russia, she talks about it in one of the books, saying that all politicians should be gifted a house in the forest in nature. So they're actually connected to Mother Earth. They're surrounded by nature rather than being surrounded by other buffoons and a city matrix lifestyle, so they can actually have a deep understanding of what's important. And the most important thing is this earth, because we don't survive without earth. So we should be putting earth first over corporate greed, over the economy and things like that, you know, which is such an easy thing we can do. So simple. Actually, every problem we have and everything we're talking about today can be solved in 1 year. All the world's problems can be solved in 1 year if we have a few people who actually care about humanity. So the fact that we have these people making decisions in Sydney, you know, for us up here in the northern New South Wales, basically it makes no difference up here, you know. You have some people wearing masks, you have some people doing the thing, tourists that come in, you know who a tourist is when you live up here. And the rest of the community is like not wearing masks, don't care, not interested. We go shop at the shops where they're not mask Nazis, and we support local business. So if Bunnings is not going to let us in, we just won't go to Bunnings anymore. We just boycott the businesses that aren't playing ball. And that's the simplest thing we can do to take back our power in this world is stop buying products, stop buying shitty food, stop buying products from companies who aren't supporting humanity, which is very easy to work that out who they are. And then that's how we take back our power, quite simply.
You were subjected to, I should say restrictions were imposed on the North Coast area back in, was it Easter, because there was one case that spilled over from the Queensland cluster. There was a hen's night party, which was a exposure super spreader site, pardon the pun there, but there was one confrontation over masks in Byron Bay, which didn't end up well. So a man launched assault after refusing wear face mask at a shopping centre by a security guard there. And this was sort of that person probably shouldn't have reacted in the way that they did. I don't know what happened there, but it was just sad that because of like one case that this was imposed and this happened.
Well, we don't really know who that was. We don't really know whether that was a false flag or a staged event, because what they do is they do these things to then bring in the new laws. It's like they did the Port Arthur massacre. They blamed it on what's his name? Martin Bryant.
This is another potential rabbit hole you're mentioning.
Yeah. So everything is staged. Let's just say that every single thing that's happened, all the wars, all the gun shootings in America, all the Paris attacks, they've all been staged, and there's so much proof and evidence and video footage and following the money that it's called problem, reaction, solution for people out there who don't know it. And basically when you have an issue, you create the problem, then you give them the solution, which is your solution anyway, you wanted in the first place to grab power. Now, I'm not saying that happened at Byron. It could have even been just a tourist coming from somewhere else. It could have been a local. Now, they wanted to do that anyway around the time the Blues Festival was on, because they wanted to make a statement. Oh, we're going to shut down this massive festival that brings in millions of dollars worth of tourism to Byron every year, and we're going to shut it down. And we all predicted that. We said, betcha they'll do a COVID case just before the festival, and they did. It was predictable. Then they did it on Mother's Day, and they did it on Father's Day, and then they did it on Australia Day, then they did it on the Anzac Day. Oh, you can go to the football stadium with 50,000 people, but you can't go to the Anzac Day in March and March. You know, it's almost like rubbing salt into the wound, where you go to the MCG and there's 40,000 people, but then you have a protest with 500 people and you get hammered by, you know, all these police and riot gear. It's like, it's kind of like showing what they want to have. They want the bread and circus, which is the football and that. If they completely stopped the football, and let's for example say this is a real pandemic, they said no more football, no more soccer, no more going to the pub, no more gambling, actually no more anything until this is gone, you would see the alpha males who are asleep, which is 98% of the world's population, rise up, because their bread and their circus, which is just literally the Roman Empire games, which are playing on today still, you would see them getting angry, and they would be pulling the people out of power, and they're pulling the politicians in the street, and they'll be giving them what they justly deserve. So that's why they're not going to stop the footy and all these things, because they need to make sure the alpha males are still in their slumber and complying to the narrative, which is, you know, stay home, go to football, put your mask on, sign in, be a sheep, don't think for yourself, the government loves you, you know, whatever, you know?
I couldn't believe on that matter there that during the UK's long lockdown that they're still making those reality TV shows, whether they were, dancing or singing contest shows, or whether they were, cooking shows. They're all still going on and being produced like nothing. There was no pandemic or anything like that. That was, of course, they're all essential services, we're told.
That's right. Yeah, well, you've got to keep the essential services going, like parking inspectors, you know, reality TV, all the things that keep people distracted and all the things that generate money for the government. That's basically where it's at. You know, I've seen videos of parking officers walking around Cronulla during the lockdown, which is in South Sydney, and slapping fines on cars. And it's like, how is that an essential service? You know what I mean? And anyway, I'm not going to even talk more about parking offices. I've got a lot to say about that. So it's basically, it's a joke. You know what I mean? They're pretty much laughing at us and they're seeing what they can get away with. Because like I said earlier, this is a scientific dictatorship. In those think tanks, you have economists, you have military strategists, you have actuarials, you have geniuses and scientists and all these people in a big room called a think tank, and they go, we want to work out a 1,000-step plan over the next 20 years to implement these 100 things. What are we going to do? And they all get their brains together and work out how to can manipulate. And the way they get in the data and the information now is through Facebook, Instagram, social media, emails, tracking, mobile phones. Mobile phones are great, but they are the single worst thing to humanity because you don't need to be spied on by some government agent anymore. They've got your phone that is opened up and they go straight through it. And they know where you go, who you hang out with, what you look like, what your girlfriend's wearing, where you're tagged in, what you eat for dinner, and follow you around the GPS, like feeding it to artificial intelligence, which is all part of this greater plan, which is transhumanism, getting the metals and the nanotechnology in us through the PCR test, through the geoengineering, through the shot. This is all part of turning humans into these silicon matrix beings, which are connected to the Internet of Things, which is 5G. But that's not even the big worry. 6G is a problem with Elon Musk and his Starlink satellites and the Falcon X rocket putting 60 satellites up every day. That's the real problem because 5G right now, fine, whatever, you can do 5G. I'll just go out into the bush. I'll just live away from it. But when you have satellites bathing every single meter of Earth, and I'm talking 50 kilometers out into the ocean in the middle of nowhere, you'll have 5 bars of 6G reception beaming you from a satellite, able to track you in real time, through your nanotech, through your shot, through the PCR test fibers that are in your nose now, which are self-replicating, another rabbit hole we can go down at a certain time. So it's literally a massive state of control. That's what it's all about. It's not about a virus. It's about getting people to comply and to take this software upload, which is what it is. It's a software upload. That's why once it's in the body and it connects with saliva or organic material like your blood or fat, it starts self-replicating, it turns into these shapes and it looks like computer code and it turns in the direction of magnetism and it faces the pineal gland because the pineal gland has its own magnetic energy, and we're turning human beings into machines, which is frightening because this is what's been spoken about in many novels, movies, Blade Runner, you know, all these movies that have been on for a long time have been showing us the reality that they're trying to create. And once again, that boils back to universal law. You have people like Steven Spielberg and other elitists who are part of the, you know, secret societies, and they're going and jumping timelines, getting information, bringing it back, and then creating movies about possible future realities depending on where our consciousness is. So, like I said, and what I say often is we're not playing 3D chess. We're actually playing five-dimensional chess beyond the five senses. So it's definitely an interesting time to be alive. And a lot of people are going to hear some of these things that I say and they're going to be like, oh, my God, that was a lot. But I guarantee you in 10 years' time, remember this conversation, remember what I'm saying, and I'll be vindicated like I have been for the last 8 years anyway. Almost every single thing I've said has come true. It's just a matter of consciousness, and it's a matter of time. And that depends on where you're focused. What are you focused on? Are you focused on their narrative, creating what they want to create? Or are you focused on the reality you want to bring in? Free energy, high technology, governments that aren't, you know, imposing these laws on us, freedom, clean food, healthy food, community living, all these things. That's the simple reality we should all focus on every day.
And certainly, the obviously, as we've established, it's hard to deprogram the masses, but certainly what the people have done on the North Coast, converge on an area, build their own communities, because being, you talked about individual sovereignty, health sovereignty, communities together can create their own sovereignty. But as we've talked about, the North Coast community has long been disliked, scolded by many, particularly health bureaucrats and many different types of people in authority, because, well, you're not listening to them. So there's certainly, even though, well, you should have any community should have the right to self government. If you take it in a way that they don't like, they're not going to give it to you. Obviously, under the Australian Constitution, there is the power to create new states. There was a proposed state of New England, which would have included the North Coast. That was back in the late 60s. But would the new communities up there like more self-governance? And is that something that's been thought about?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you've got a lot of Aboriginal sovereignty going on where they're reclaiming land. They're reclaiming land and things like that, and that's understandable. Okay, you've got groups of people who obviously who want to live in community because they want to be sustainable as much as possible. Being 100% sustainable is like almost a myth, you know. It's very, very difficult not to be part of the system somewhat, because there's just, yeah, it's a bit of a fairy tale. But you can live a much simpler, more sustainable life in these communities. Now, we have hundreds of people turning up to our community meetings. People around here, they get it. You know, they've been living off grid for years. They've been growing vegetables for years. People's parents were in the first original movement, which was basically near where I live. It's called the Channon and Nimbin. Now, that area was the very first area which blockaded a forest being logged. So that was the first one up there at Mount Nardi, Nightcap, and that whole region. They stopped an old-growth forest being logged, and that set a precedent all around the world. Then people stopped forests being logged all around the globe. So this is really deeply entrenched and ingrained in this area for activism, for protesting, for, you know, locking onto gates. And there's a lot of Osho communities that moved out here in the 60s as well, when the Osho community in America went down. Basically, they spread out all around the world and started these spiritual communities, and a lot of them are thriving and doing really well. And it's a basis for some really good morals and great living with those communities. So you have them there. Now the people are getting older and new people are coming in, and there's this merging of the two worlds. So the biggest threat to the system is empowered people who are living in communities. That is the single biggest threat, because when you're in a community, you're growing your own food, you're taking the pressure off the system. In a real honest reality with an honest government, the government would be like, we want to support you to live in communities because we don't want to do all the jobs we have to do. We want you to go do your own things. We don't have to worry about you. That's what a real government would do. And actually in Russia, in many places, if you want to do farming, they will give you farm land for free and like that to help support the country, because Russia has been under so many sanctions for so long. And let's be honest, sanctions are nothing but economic espionage. So it's a way to crush and destroy a country so they bow down to the New World Order. That's basically what sanctions are. That's why there's sanctions on Iran, Syria, Russia, all these countries who are just doing their own thing. And they're not really doing anything to harm anyone else, but we've always got a problem with them, you know what I mean? So that the communities are the single most powerful thing, because you have non-vaxxed kids coming through. You have kids that are growing up in community with all the other parents. So you don't just have your mum and dad's lifestyle and their good and bad behaviors. You connect and pick up with all these other families. So you're getting this whole spectrum of what you do want to be like and what you don't want to be like. And these kids have a different style of education. They're growing up on the good food, the homegrown organic food. Now, organic food is great, but when you grow your own food in your own backyard and you plant that food with love and you water and you eat it, that food is on a whole nother level. That is high vibrational healing food for your body. So that's what the people in the cities aren't getting. Food's shipped over from Chile or China. It's frozen. It's picked early, so it's not ripe. The person who picked the food, we don't even know who that is. They're probably under slave labor rates. Not happy putting that energy into the food. Now, food's water. We all know that you can put energy and frequency into water. Gets transported over onto a truck, transported again, sent to the shops, defrosted, packed. Then you buy it, the whole exchange of money. There's an energy behind money too. And then you're eating it. Like, that's low vibrational food, even though it's organic. It's not healing food. So the food, the water, the connection, the children, the love, the time. When you're in a community, you have more time, because when you all buy a piece of land together, you're not forking out $1 to $3 million. You are literally buying a portion of that land, and then you don't have to be in the debt slavery system for 50 years to pay off a mortgage. Now, the word mortgage stems from the word mortuary, which means debt until you die. And this mortgage, which has been created by the banks, is nothing but a giant bond. The bank goes, oh, can I get a bond? And they go, here, no worries, here's $500 million. And then the bank goes, okay, I'm going to split that $500 million into $501 million loans. I'm going to lend them out to all these people. I'm going to charge them interest for the next 50 years. It's going to be 2.5 times what they borrowed in the first place. So if you're borrowing $1 million, you probably pay back $3 million. And so you're a slave. That is literally slavery. Why would you want to be part of that system? I want to live with people that I love. I want to know that I can leave my house open and it's going to be completely safe. I don't want to be paying off a mortgage for 50 years. I don't want to wake up in the morning and the first thing I think about is I have to work another 49 years to pay off this fucking mortgage, which the bank didn't do anything to achieve. It just fictitious money just appeared in the air. Oh, here you go. We'll just put it into your bank account. You don't have to do anything for it. And then you can lend it out with giant interests and all these people can work like slaves, so they never have the time to do the research. They never have the money to get the good food. They can't go on holidays and experience other countries because they're locked into that 9-to-5 system, which is another system designed to enslave people. Like 2 days you get off if you're lucky. 2 days a week for the whole year to have 2 weeks of holidays at the end of the year. How did we even comply to that and allow that to be normal living? That is absolute slavery. And this is the deprogramming I'm talking about over and over again. It's like, oh, my God, it's true. Oh, my God, like Jeremy aha moments I say to people and they're like, wow, I never thought of that. So it's literally a slow unfolding of every facet of our lives to get back to the core of who we are, to get back to our evolution and to get back to nature. Get back to nature, which reconnects us with our soul's purpose, our soul's journey. What are we supposed to be doing here? What am I doing on the earth? Am I just making money, or am I actually working and making money to buy back my freedom so then I can help other people have a better life too and we have a better planet?
You opened up a few more rabbit holes there. The fractional reserve banking system there, and I think with the 9-to-5, just what is it, the old check-in, check-out cards, that has been obliterated in the last 20, 30 years. There's more, despite everything that's happened, more entrepreneurship, more people becoming independent contractors. There's a whole lot of different ways that people can, they run their own business, which they're passionate about. They're not just going in like a zombie every day. So there are positive developments on that end. Now, we were talking about essential celebrities before. Byron Bay, that has attracted a lot of international celebrities there who get preferential treatment to come into Australia during the the pandemic to do films is what's the feeling amongst the community there that there is, because despite the demonization of the North Coast community, it is getting a lot of people attracted to it, and there's a lot of tourism there. What's the sort of feeling about could it be overrun with just these people who don't want to be part of what you've built, just want to basically occupy the nice environment and beachside and just turn it into what is it Gold Coast?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't stop that from happening anyway. You know, when something's cool, the people are going to come. And that's what I say about the awakening process, is that basically 90% of the world's population don't really care what they do. They just don't want to be left out. They want to fit in. They want to be part of what everyone else is doing. That's why you don't need 90% of the world's population to awaken. You only need like 4 to 6% to start a revolution. And that's why I was saying earlier, the whole thing is held together by a piece of string, and we're at breaking point right now. Now, to do with all the movie stars and things like that moving in, they were pushing to have it in Byron Bay and those areas, but they've got so much backlash that I think they're heading now to Ballina or maybe even Coffs Harbour or something. So I don't think it's going to be going on, because no one up here watches TV. You know, they don't watch the mainstream news. No one gives a shit about Hollywood celebrities, all these, you know, Satanists and pedophiles that parade on the screen. You know, these actors, they're not interested. You know, the people up here are well-researched, and it's a definite no-no. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to continue. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it has gone further down south, where they do want to, you know, bring that type of lifestyle in. And there's a lot of money coming into the area. And the areas around here, you know, I was looking at buying land 5 or 6 years ago. I didn't. The land that I was looking at then, it's worth like, you know, 100% more in some cases. It's literally doubled or more. So, and even in the last 4 months, some of the properties around where I live, I watched them go up 40% in 3 months, because everyone wants to get off grid. They're moving up here. You know, Byron's free. There's all this stuff going on. Everyone hears about it. I mean, it is geographically a good location. You know, it's the most easterly part of the coastline. You're half an hour away from the Gold Coast and the border there. And then, you know, you're close to Mullumbimby and all these beautiful rainforests and mountains and rivers and streams and springs and conscious people. You know, we've got a really good community up here. And it doesn't matter how much the mainstream news talks trash about everyone. This is the eye of the storm. This is a pinnacle. This is the place which is creating all the change, which is rippling out around the rest of the planet. I don't know any area or any group in any country that's doing what we're doing up here. And that's why we're getting hit so hard, because they're threatened by what we're doing. Because when you get a whole bunch of empowered people together, good luck stopping that. You only need 5 or 10 people who are dedicated, and you can turn things upside down. That's what people don't realize. And I said earlier, every person has a crucial role, and you make such a difference. So it's talking to people, whether it's mentoring young people, whether it's informing people, whatever you do every day, you are making a massive difference. So don't ever think for a second that you're unworthy, you're useless, and what can I do? Don't feel helpless, because you are really helpful. You need to remember that.
Now, I should ask, now I refer to you as Neil, but a lot of people refer to you as Nate Max. What does that name mean?
Well, when I stepped out of my Bondi lifestyle, which I was a topless waiter for a while, and, you know, spent a lot of time in King's Cross and around a lot of criminals and kickboxers and fighters and thugs and all that lifestyle. That was the fast lifestyle, you know, fast cars, race boats, Harley Davidsons, fast women, all that type of stuff. I was going through the awakening. I was already kind of awake anyway. I just did the meditation one time and then it blew my mind, and that's what all happened. But it was just kind of like, I don't know, I felt like I needed to step into something different. So I chose my name, which was Nate, you know, and a lot of people used to call me that anyway. I don't even know how. But basically Max, it was a comrade of mine who I was in close contact with for quite some time, and his name's Max Spears, and you guys can look him up on the internet. He's a super soldier. And when we connected, we recognized each other from programs and other things. I'm not going to open that can of worm today. And basically he was planning to come to Australia and we're going to tour together because we do quite similar things. Like one of my favorite things is going into churches and checking out architecture, especially things like Tartaria and things like that. But going in and seeing all the symbology, my mind is able to work out the symbology really well, whether it's symbols on churches, statues, things like that. And that's kind of what he did also in the United Kingdom. But he also spoke out about the International Military Pedophile Ring, which was run by the CIA. Now, he was one of the first people to actually speak about that, and he used to speak about the super soldier programs and what they used to do to these young men and augment their DNA and turn them into assassins and things like that. So anyway, we connected on a very deep level, and I felt like I'd found like one of my brothers, you know what I mean? I felt honestly like this guy's like somehow connected to me in a way that I don't understand. And then it wasn't long after that that they murdered him in Poland. He's doing a presentation in Poland and he's under heavy psychic attack. And, yeah, they found him in the hotel room with black goo coming out of his mouth and he died. And it was kind of like a very heavy time for me, you know. And the project that I created was the Nate and Max Project, which is my old website. So that's where Max came from. So it's kind of like a tribute for him. And about a week after he passed away, I did a presentation at Starseed Gardens in Byron Bay at Dan Shriver's old place, and I did a tribute for him, and this whole movement for me started. And I felt like a bit of the energy of him kind of entered me, and then it propelled me in a bit of a different direction into following his work, you know. And I ended up interviewing Fiona Barnett and Isaac Cappy about the CIA-run global pedophile ring. And then I had Isaac Cappy, who's a Hollywood A-lister, who was in, like, I think Terminator, Thor, you know, some quite big movies, and he was here traveling with me in my motorhome in Mullumbimby, and we're doing interviews and stuff together. And then when he went home after about a month, they actually killed him as well. So they tossed him off a bridge near a military base, because he's the one who exposed Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, and all these other absolute grubs for being pedophiles, Seth Green. And I actually, during that time, got a threatening message from James Elefantis, who's the owner of Comet Pizza in America. So I've been in the thick of it for many, many years. I've had more psychic attacks and threats to my life than anyone I know. People murdered around me in cold blood. So people out there who think this is a bit of a joke or a game, it's so far beyond that. You're better off being a heroin dealer than doing truth, exposing pedophiles and some of the things I do. You're much safer doing that. So that's where the name came from. And, yeah.
That's quite a story there. Well, it's been great to finally have a chat with you. Amongst my existing watchers, they had a mixed reaction to you, but I consider you were an ally of freedom in this new, what is it, this new world order they're trying to impose on us, as what is it, Brad Hazzard, New South Wales Health Minister, says. So over the past 18 months, there's a lot of people who in the past maybe didn't have much in common now converging, because we have the one goal.
Yes, I think people on there wanted to see my pooch, didn't they?
such a beautiful dog. On your Instagram, who gets the most comments? Is it you or?
It's never me. People just want to see my dog, you know what I mean? I go out in the streets and everyone's like, oh, this dog. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then look at him. He's the expression of love, you know, fluffiness. He's always so happy. And I've seen him transfigure so many people in a really beautiful way, you know. They just kind of see him and hug him, and it's really special.
And I must thank Thanos Patilides for helping to get us connected for this show. You've sort of been his tour guide when he's been up the North Coast, because, well, since he was arrested for incitement back in September 2020, he was banned until very recently from the Melbourne CBD, but he wasn't banned from the Sydney CBD or the North Coast or the Gold Coast. Or so he's been up there meeting all the other freedom fighters around Australia. Yeah. And those are his hats and shirts.
Yeah, Thanos is an absolute gentleman. He's come up and worked on my house with me and helped me out because he's a builder as well. And honestly, like, when we first connected, I was like, well, this guy is a genuine dude. He really is, you know. And, we connected quite deeply, and a lovely guy, got a big heart, and he really just wants to help the world, you know. There's no ego about him whatsoever, which is really special. And they are his hats, you know. So if you guys want to get those hats, jump on the Thanos' Telegram, which is, I think, Thanos the Voice, and then you can support him on there because obviously he's been deleted off all the platforms. I mean, I had my YouTube deleted many, many years ago before YouTube's even been deleted. I've been shadow banned on my Instagram for maybe 5 or 6 years and just got kind of extra shadow banned in the last week. So my views have gone down in my stories just from, say, 2,500 per story to now 200 to 250. So they've completely lowered my my reach by 1,000%, which is a little bit annoying. That just tells you you're dropping bombs over the target.
Yeah.
Now, my mate is pretty cool.
Speaking the truth, if you're getting shadow banned all the time now. Yes, I've seen that shirt being worn around as well.
Now, if anyone wants them, just go to Rising _ Lioness. She's on Instagram, and that's a good mate of mine who basically has created those jumpers. And you're a walking billboard, you know. It starts conversation. People start talking and all the rest of it. And now if you guys also want to jump on and get connected to my Telegram, it's Nate Max Human Alliance, where I put all my uncensored content on there, because as you can imagine, I don't really last very long on YouTube and Instagram and things like that. So that's kind of the new go-to where we're organizing things behind the scenes. So, yeah, if you guys want to share it, jump on there. It's really helpful for me too, you know.
There's another chat from Bud Brewski for $3. Thank you, Bud. He wants to know what psychic attacks are.
Psychic attacks, well, there's all different types, but basically it can be a combination of technology with black magic. So you can be accessed through frequencies, say phone towers, connected with black magic. It can be literally a physical attack where you have people who are into black magic will send you, you could call it a spell, but it's energy. You know what I mean? They're conjuring up energy and they're sending it to you in a malicious way. And when someone does send you something like that, and harm you and hurt you, okay, you, if you are smart esoterically, you can block it and send it back because they've opened a channel to get you. So if you know what you're doing, you can literally send it back much stronger. But most people don't have that awareness. This is the information that we had taken from us and we've been walking around blindly, you know. And basically what it feels like is I've had many, but the bad ones felt like I don't get anxiety. I don't get anxiety or anything like that, but I'm imagining that's what anxiety felt like, but it felt like I was going to die. And then I felt something enter my body and I felt something was inside me and it was in my mind. And what it was doing, it was telling me to run on the freeway and kill myself. So I, for about 45 minutes, I had to fight this thing and to regain and to come back into my center. I had to clear myself. And there's different methods of doing that. And if you think you are under psychic attack, you can send a message through later and I can direct you to some really good energy healers who I use regularly. But most importantly, the thing you can do to prevent psychic attacks is having your field completely sealed, okay, working on your trauma stories, which means not having wounded ways to allow them to get in, because they get in through your trauma, they get in through your wounds, and then they'll access your non-physical body, and then they'll start draining you of your vital life force. Now, I actually had an experience only 2 weeks ago where, like, I knew that I was off. Like, I'm usually pretty quick to feel like, hey, something's going on with me. My decision-making changes, my thought pattern changes, I start attracting unsavory circumstances in my life. Anyway, I called my healer from Sydney and I said, hey, I think you need to sort me out. Can you get me in quick? So the next night I was at my house, and she was working on me and we're talking for half an hour. Then I was going to basically lay down and she's going to go into doing this healing. And just before I was about to lay down, she said, Nate, there's like a giant entity which is like, I'm over your house and it's in your field. And then as she said that, the internet went completely down and the power blew in my house, and it blew in the two houses to the left and two houses to the right only, and the power went out where I live for half a day. And then she basically did the clearing on me, and I had like, yeah, massive attachments and hooks from artificial intelligence and literally an entity which was sucking the energy out of me. And before that happened, I looked in the mirror and I swear I looked like I was 50 years old. I looked so old and tired in the face, and I was like white and pale. And my friends were going, fuck, what's going on, Nate, man? You don't look good. You look like depleted. And I was like, yeah, I feel like shit. And then I tapped in and I asked my higher self. I was like, yeah, you got attachments. And then over the 5 days after that, I just looked younger, 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 and more youthful. So, yeah, it can actually wreak havoc on you, and it is a real thing. This is what I said. Life actually starts beyond the five senses. So that's the non-physical realm. And if you don't know what you're doing, and you go out and do plant medicine or start connecting with spirits and guides and angels and all these things, you can really get yourself harvested and get yourself into a lot of trouble. So you really want to be very careful of what you're doing and do the things that you know that are safe and that work, whether it's the ocean, whether it's sun gazing, you know, whatever your practices are that work, stick to them and be very careful, because it can be very bad for you.
Maybe when Dan Andrews fell down the stairs, he was having a psychic attack and didn't have the strength to fight it off.
You mean when it's being inappropriate to Lindsay Fox's daughter and he got the shit beaten out of him? That one? Or which one?
There's heaps of rumors. We'll never know the real truth. That's one of the ones.
I've never seen anyone fall down a set of steps and have that many black eyes. And trust me, I was a kickboxer for many years, so I know what you look like when you get a beat down.
it was the weirdest occurrence story of the year, but hey, I wasn't complaining. I got 3 months without it. Thanks again, Neil or Nate. Thank you to the super chatters and people in the live chat. That's it for Wilms Front this week. I'll be back for Trade Tasman Talk tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Melbourne time, on the Unshackled's YouTube channel, and also this time next week for another Wilms Front, and then 8:30 p.m. Monday Melbourne time on Wilms Front, another episode of Tim's News Explosion. And remember to check out the unshackled.net for our Unshackled Productions archive and our articles as well. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Wilms Front. Visit timwilms.com or Rational Rise TV to view the archive of episodes. And keep visiting theunshackled.net to view all our shows. And to keep up with the latest real news and analysis.